needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs. Sister's sighing in her sleep. Brother's got a night to keep. He can't hang around.
Well, good Tuesday morning. Welcome to our house here at WWDB. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway. The sun is shining. The birds are chirping. Did you register to vote? Yes, I'm going to just give you a rundown on that because we're going to be talking a little bit about how to care for your American flag that you may have hanging outside of your home or your condo or your townhouse. So we are live right here at the station on the podcast at WWDB. We're live on the radio at 860 AM on Odyssey. You can also pull us up on Alexa. How about that? And if you have any questions, you can Instagram or Facebook message me. Yes, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor, LP SmartSide Solutions. Love this company, LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding in Brush Smooth Finish. If you are interested in siding your home or doing any repairs or adding addition visit lpcorp.com/Philadelphia Homes. Love this product. I just realized when I was going through some of my old bills that our shed that we put up is all LP SmartSide, and it's absolutely gorgeous. It is made to endure harsh weather conditions, including humidity, rain, wind, and hail. It has a verified carbon negative, so it's not going to cause problems with the environment. It's made of 100% sustainably sourced wood, and it comes in 16, yep, factory finish, versatile colors, including timeless classics and bold on-trend statements, and I absolutely love the product. Again, you can visit lpcorp.com/Philadelphia Homes. Thank you for being such a wonderful sponsor here at Home Improvement Fix and Facts. I do have a show that we are still ironing out the details. I talked about it last week. It's coming up, talking about insurance and the insurance company's mass exodus from different counties and states. And I really am excited to be able to bring this on. I'm hoping for next week. I cannot believe we are 2 weeks away from an election. So this might be a good story talking about climate change. Robin Nunn will be joining us. She is a leading national attorney who specializes in complex commercial litigation, including fraud, anti-corruption, consumer protection, mass tort and liability, cybersecurity, data privacy, and she's going to be talking about insurance. So can't wait to have that here. In the second half of our show, we are going to be talking about a fun DIY project, which is, you definitely want to stay tuned, how you can build your own DIY solar water heater. I found this great article by Chris Diesel, and it was really awesome. And so, you know, if you go into other countries like Japan, this is like a normal thing there. So I thought it would be fun to talk about the DIYers to all of you out there and how to do this. Now, with Election Day coming up right around the corner, I thought it would be important for all of us homeowners who fly flags to understand what the flag means when we put it outside of our house. I think it's really important that we understand what to do with a flag. God forbid it needs repair or you need to get a new one. What do you do with a flag? How do you handle it if it's in disrepair? So displaying the American flag is, to me, a sign of respect in our country. It honors our nation and its values. I feel like it honors our Constitution. But lately, there have been some people that have made a few missteps and turned it into a sign of disrespect, which is really breaking my heart that this is going on. So I wanted to tell people just a little bit of history about the flag and why we as homeowners fly the American flag outside of our house, particularly during things like Flag Day and the 4th of July and other different occasions. So the American flag originated from the American Revolution. here in the United States. This is history, people. And if we don't pay attention to what's going on with voting, we might have another revolution here in our country. But the American flag carries a very rich history, and its initial version called the Grand Union Flag or Continental Colors dates back to 1776. And most of us know from our history lessons in school that it featured 13 stars and stripes signifying the original colonies. And stars have been added over the years to represent each state that joined the Union, bringing us to today's 50-star flag. Just for people that might want to know a little bit more, this was an article that I found by Alex Shoemaker talking about the mistakes we make with the American flag. So that's why it's important for me to talk about it, especially because we display it outside of our homes. With a profound significance, it embodies the values of liberty, solidarity, and the unwavering essence of the United States. It stands as a symbol for freedom, unity, and the enduring American spirit. And that's why there's a right way and a wrong way to display an American flag. And so for all of you homeowners out there, I'm going to make you aware of the do's and don'ts, the facts and the fixes for an American flag outside of your house. Some of these I knew, but some of them I found a little bit surprising. And the first one that I'm going to bring to you is never letting the American flag touch the ground. Ensuring that the American flag never touches the ground is an essential tenet of the flag's etiquette. And this rule is rooted in profound respect for the nation and the countless sacrifices made by its people and our soldiers and our veterans and our armed forces. It's a crucial, it's so crucial to employ proper handling and folding techniques to safeguard against any inherent contact between the flag and the ground. So you'll see at ceremonies when they fold the flag, there is a particular way it gets folded and it should never touch the ground. So very important. This one really gets me because I've seen a lot of this going on around our wonderful country. And this is flying the American flag below another one. The American flag should always be placed at the highest point of the flagpole and on top of state flags or other flags you may have around your house. If you have multiple flags that you want to display around your house, hang them on a different pole. Do not put them on the same pole as the American flag. And if you are going to put it with the American flag, you put the American flag at the very top. Doing otherwise shows disrespect to our country. And when I drive by and see that, and I have seen it in my neighborhood, I feel that the people that live there are disrespectful to the flag, what it means, and the United States. That's my opinion. So for all you DIYers out there and all you people that hang up flags and like to have them outside of your home, we do. We like to have a flag hanging. Right now it's the Eagles flag, but it'll get switched again. Leaving the flag outside in severe weather can really damage the flag and diminish its integrity. So heavy rain, strong winds, snowstorms, hurricanes, tornadoes, and any other severe weather is something that you should pay attention to, and you should bring your flag inside if it is going to be susceptible to the elements. If you are hanging a flag outside, a lot of people know that it's customary that you, when you raise your flag in the morning, if you have a big flagpole outside of your house, it's customary to fly the American flag from sunrise to sunset unless you provide it with proper illumination. So leaving the flag outside in the dark, whether it's attached to the side of your home, on a smaller flagpole or a big pole in your yard, it's actually considered disrespectful. And I always leave our flag up most of the year, except when the Eagles flag goes up. But we do have it illuminated by the outside light outside of our house. However, when we go to bed at night, we turn the light off, which means the flag is out there. So who knew? I mean, it just, This is just for people that really want to know love of country and people that love to hang a flag. Now, reversing the flag. Oh my gosh, this is like something you should never do, and it makes me pause when I see it. The blue field with the white stars representing the number of states should always be positioned in the upper left corner closest to the flagpole. If you reverse the flag or place it upside down, it is considered a sign of distress. So you should never do this. And I consider it a sign of disrespect if you're doing it while marching against the Capitol. So that's my opinion. Another thing about our flag is, what is flying it at half staff? Flying the flag at half staff without an order. Basically, what that means is lowering the American flag to half staff is a solemn act. It's expressing mourning or respect for something that is happening here in our country. And this is reserved, this gesture of flying a flag at half mast is for specific circumstances with an official order, like when a president would die or when there is a school shooting, God forbid. We would hope that they would be not happening now, but they still are. But flying the flag at half staff without proper authorization diminishes the significance of this powerful symbol. When the flag is flying at half mast on a flagpole, it's customary to raise the flag to the top first and then lower it to a half mast position. And I think our flag, the United States of America, the American flag, is one of the most significant symbols of our freedoms and our liberty here in our country. And how lucky are we that we can hang this outside of our own homes? So, you know, that's a liberty that you have, and that's a right that you have here in our country. But the respect that we should be giving our country and our flag is huge. Another thing that I want to bring up is never altering the appearance of the flag. So avoid adding additional things to it, symbols, patches, adding any text to your flags, signing your flags. The flag's design and its color should never be modified, and it's essential to display the flag in its original unaltered form to show respect for its symbolism and the history of this United States. And then this was a really important one, which I'm happy to share with you, because we have a flag that was weather bound. It started to get tattered and it was fraying, and we did not know what to do with it. So we folded it up and we put it in the garage till we could figure out what to do with it. But a damaged flag, whether it's torn or frayed or faded or anything, should be promptly retired and replaced with a new one. And continuing to display a tattered flag is also considered disrespectful. Some people don't even know this because they don't even understand the history of the American flag and what it means. But if you're flying it outside your home, you should know these things. And proper flag disposals are the things that you should do when you have a flag that needs to be retired. It's improper to burn a flag in a group in protest or anything of that sort. So you want to make sure that you are doing the right thing when retiring an old flag. So some of the things that I am going to help you with is you actually can take them to some of your local courthouses and state offices and places like that to give them to them. There is a proper method of burning or burying a flag when it's being retired, when it's really old and damaged. But that is really the only time that you should ever burn or desecrate the flag. And I think that's really important for us to know. Super important information. I just want to give you one more thing here. Let me pull it up real quick. So I have it. I thought I had it right on my page, and I don't. And yes, I am. I'm talking to you from Zoom today. So you just can't throw the flag in a garbage. The best way to do it is to burn it in a fire pit. You can take it to the fire department. And when you're burning the flag privately, not in protest, you're supposed to say the Pledge of Allegiance and hold a moment of silence. It's how they say that you show your allegiance to the state. You can find the correct ways to fold a flag online, and when you dispose of a flag, the flag should be folded. Believe it or not, if you are going to burn a flag, it should be folded in its customary manner. And it's important that the fire be, first of all, safe, but large enough and significantly intense to ensure the complete burning of the flag. And other than that, you can also reach out to your local officials so you know where to put it. So, where to give it away, and they will dispose of it for you. I just thought it was really important that we understand the importance of the flag and that we have that honor of being able to fly the flag outside of our home. But I think that when we do it, we should do it with flag etiquette. We should do it with the proper protocols and the proper procedures for the American flag. And so very important. And that little bit of history, who designed the original stars and stripes of the United States flag? It's never actually been 100% confirmed because there's stories that it was Betsy Ross, who was an expert seamstress in Philadelphia, or they also say it could have been New Jersey's Congressman Francis Hopkins. So the traditional story is that Betsy Ross designed the flag in 1776, but we know that it first appeared in 1775, and that story gained popularity through the years. So I just wanted to share that with you. So fly your flag proudly and do the right thing by your flag. And again, a couple things I learned when I was doing the research on this article, but don't alter your flag. Fly it proudly and do the right thing. So thank you to Alex Shoemaker for supplying me with this wonderful story about how we handle the flags around our house. I'm going to take a quick commercial break, and then we are going to come back and talk about whether a solar DIY water heater really works and how you build one. You are listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts, and we will be right back.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/phillysiding. That's lpcorp.com/phillysiding.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
Springsteen singing Born in the USA. I'm doing this segment because I think it's important. We're 2 weeks away from voting, two Tuesdays from today. And I just wanted to remind everybody that here in Pennsylvania, registration deadlines ended yesterday, October 21st. And if you mailed to get your registration to vote, you should have received it by yesterday. You can still, however, mail absentee ballots, and you can mail your voter's choice, your ballot, as long as you request it and it's received by October 29th, 5 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And your ballot must be returned by mail by November 5th, no later than 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, please keep in mind that if you are mailing your ballot, they are being very particular to make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. So make sure that you are doing everything properly. Make sure that you've checked to make sure you're still on the registration rolls and you can return your ballot, like I said, by 5 o'clock. And then, of course, if you are registered to vote, you can vote in person. On Tuesday, November 5th, I will be doing a show that day. I'll probably be bringing this up again because it's so important, our democracy, your rights as a homeowner, the things you can and can't do, being able to buy a house, being a first-time buyer, all these things come into play when you make your choice to be able to vote, to have the right to vote. And for those of you that have younger children or that have kids that recently got married, you know, maybe they are looking at buying a house, and this can affect all of this information. So important that we understand what our rights are, and please vote. I'm going to be stressing it every week until the election. So, what is a DIY water heater and how does it work? I found this article by Chris Diesel really exciting. You know, it's like if you sun-powered electricity, you'd warm right up, right? I mean, you plug in a heater in your house to get warm. And the idea of residential solar water heaters is just now starting to trend a little bit. And there's DIY things that you can do for this. So the Department of Energy estimates that heating water accounts for 18% of our typical home's energy. So if you use the sun's energy for this task, yay for you. And you could enjoy a significant savings on your energy bill if you have a solar water heater. You can use the sun to dry your clothes, too. Don't forget, people, when you have the opportunity to put a clothesline out and dry certain things on your clothesline outside, that helps with the energy cost in your home. I mean, we're all about saving money. And I think moving forward, this is another topic that is sitting on the ballot moving forward: energy and how we source our energy and what is the cost of energy. So it's really important that we pay attention to what's going on. But if we're using 18% of our home's energy and we're using the sun's energy, we can have a significant savings on our electric bill and our energy bill. So that's what solar water heating does. And it might look like a PVC panel from the ground, but it's really easy to build and install. And from what our author said, of this article, Chris Diesel, and I have a very good friend who visits Japan regularly. They both say that there's in Japan, particularly going back to the 90s, there were so many panels and storage tanks on rooftops in Japan that heat the water there and do so much more for the country that homeowners in our country are starting to tune into this really great energy saving strategy. So I think it's really important that we pay attention. According to Al Ruge of a Phoenix-based ASAP restoration company says, for sure, we have never installed a solar hot water heater on a home for a client because he wouldn't be able to warranty the unit since, as far as he knows, they aren't made by any single company that offers one. And Al says, sadly, I'll admit, despite being in Phoenix, where it's sunny all year round, I rarely see solar water heaters on local properties. But yet in California, There are people who, well, all around the country, there are people that like to live off the grid. And more people are doing their own home gardening and looking for ways to live off the grid a little bit more. So we're going to talk about the, you know, first of all, I'm going to caution you for anyone who is considering a DIY solar water heater. Don't forget that if you are going to put it on your roof, you have to make it sure it's secure against high winds and connecting it to your hot water supply. Or there are other places where you can put it within the ground around your home. So what is a solar water heater? So let's give you a definition here, and then we're going to tell you exactly how it works. Because I thought this was really kind of a fun thing. And as my contractor, carpenter husband is winding down and retiring, he's been trying to retire for 3 years now, but his customers love him. This might be a fun project for him. So a solar water heater heats water using the sun's energy, and it circulates it into the household's hot water supply, similar to solar panels that convert electricity and energy through your home. So my gut tells me that over the up and coming years, we're going to see more and more of this happening and more companies getting involved in solar water heaters. So there are several ways that you can build one, but one of the most common ways is to construct a collection panel with an inbuilt network of tubing through which the water can circulate. So what happens is cold water enters at one end, and water heated by radiation, the sun, gets absorbed by the collector, the tubes, and comes out the other end. So solar hot water systems of yesteryear that were out there, you know, as people were experimenting in the past, were leaky and they were ineffective. They were bulky and usually they failed. But the industry is maturing and has matured. And today you can actually research this, and you can actually research this article, and you can choose between super efficient, professionally installed solar water heater collectors, that's what the tubes are, the collectors, and the less inexpensive DIY friendly solar hot water heating system. So I thought it was fun to do the DIY because I do have a lot of DIYers out there. So how does it work? I think it's important to understand that all solar water heaters have one feature in common: the ability to absorb the heat from sunlight and transfer it into water. So systems differ, however, in that way, they are common that they store and circulate water. It's just different how they do it. There's something called a passive system, which rely on the thermo. This is a siphon effect. And what this is the fact that hot water is less dense than cold water and tends to rise. As we know, heat rises, right? So these systems usually include a holding tank positioned above the solar collector. And this is what our writer said was the type that he often saw installed in Japan on rooftops. And on sunny days, the water is heated in the collector, rises into the tank, and then an outlet feeds the heated water into your home or the building by the force of gravity. Now, the other type of system is what they call an active system, where you circulate water using a mechanical pump. And there are two different types, which are direct and indirect. And I know this might be a little bit over the head of some people listening, but it might be enough to spark you to get your curiosity going, where you want to look it up and find out if this is a DIY project that you want to do. So a direct system circulates the water into a holding tank in your home or a building, which is usually just a standard tank style water heater, you know, like what you have in your basement or your cellar, depending on where you live and how you say it. The indirect system circulates a heat transfer fluid like ethyl glycol antifreeze, you know, the same stuff we put in our radiators of our cars, through a heat exchanger which is simply a system of coils installed inside the water heater tank. And the fluid exchanges heat with the water in the tank rather than heating the water directly. So this type of system prevents water contamination, and you're not mixing antifreeze with water, just so you know, it's separate tanks the way it runs. And this system prevents water contamination, and it's better for colder climates because it resists freezing, because we are using, instead of the water fluid going through the coils and heating it, we are using an antifreeze type fluid in there. So is it safe? Will a solar water heater work for your home? Well, you know, it's all relative. You've got to do the research and you've got to do the homework. And with all things solar, the number one prerequisite, and we know this from putting solar panels on our home, for a water heater system, is to make sure that you're getting enough sunlight to make it work. So if you live in a shady spot, if you are living in a townhouse, you might not be able to do this. If it's going up on your roof, you need to get approvals, which we talked about last week with HOAs, which are impossible to get. But if you have a sunny spot on your roof or on your property that is large enough to set one up, and it doesn't, like I said, it doesn't have to be a roof. That's what they do in Japan. And, you know, so many countries are so much more advanced technologically than we are here in the United States that I thought it was a fun topic. But it, like I said, it doesn't have to be on the roof. You can save energy by feeding heated water into your existing water heater or circulating it through your plumbing directly from your tank, whether it's on the rooftop or whether it's on your property. And you can benefit even if you live in the cold climates, because you can install, if you choose to, a freeze-proof heat exchange system, or a system that you can drain in the winter when the temperatures are below freezing. It's just like we have a water barrel at the end of our house, and we use it to water the plants. We use it when water is low. We don't use it to drink. We don't use it, but God forbid if we had to, we'd boil it and use it. But we use it instead of running the water all the time, and particularly because we live in a place where we have well water, having a water barrel has been a great asset to us. But like the DIY of making your own solar water heater, you might choose to drain it in the winter, which is the same thing we'll do with our water barrel. We'll waterproof it through the winter and then set it back up again when the freeze is over. So how much does it cost? Is it worth your time and effort to put your own water heater in, your own DIY solar water heater? Well, it depends on how much of it you actually do yourself. If you're a true DIYer, you're going to want to build it yourself. You're going to want to own the collector, and you're going to want to install it and hook it up to your existing water heater. And if you do that, the cost can be as low as like $1,000 to $1,500, depending on the materials that you use. If you choose to purchase components like a kit that's available out there, or if you have a system professionally installed, let me give you an idea. And again, I still think this is a pretty good price. The cost to purchase the components in a kit, depending again on the kit you get, can run anywhere from $1,500 to $6,000 if you're doing your own DIY. But if you have one professionally installed, they're going to have a kit. They're going to have the materials to do it. So remember, $15,000 to $6,000, and then add about another $3,000 to that. So it could easily cost you $5,000 to $10,000 to put your own solar water heater kit, your own solar water heater in your house, it's not actually in your house, listeners. It goes outside of your house. So solar water heaters, believe it or not, qualify for the renewable energy credit. So this is where you want to check with the government as well as your local electric company, because they have all those rebates out there for different things like water heaters. So the renewable energy tax credit is a federal program that reimburses 30% of the cost of purchase and installation. In addition, in some states and in some communities, there may be additional incentives. Like I said, that's why you have to check with your local PECO and your local township and wherever you live. To qualify for the system, the Solar Rating and Certification Corp, the SRCC, it has to be rated with the SRCC rating. So to qualify, the system must be rated by the Solar Rating and Certification Corp. So you want to look for that SRCC or a comparable entity, which might include some commercial DIY kits. So that is like that was something that really floored me. We get energy credits. We get renewable energy tax credits when we put solar panels on our home, assistance towards the cost of doing that. So here again, if you choose to do your own solar water heater, you can qualify for those 30% of those renewable tax energy credits, and in some areas, even more. So how do we make one? Well, I'm going to try to blow through it real quick so that I can get this whole article in here during my show and give you all the pros and cons of making one. So before I tell you how to build one, I'm going to do the pros and cons of being able to do this so that you can decide then if you like the pros and the cons of how you build your own solar water heater, then I'm going to get into the techniques of how you do it. So what are the pros of doing it? Well, you're heating your water for free. The huge energy savings, as I said at the top of the story, whether it's on your roof, whether you use it to fill your water heater in your home, whether you have an outside system on your property, energy savings, low maintenance. Once you get this system up and running, you basically kind of forget about it. If you're circulating a heat transfer fluid, however, just like your car, you may have to replace it periodically. And it's eco-friendly. A solar water heater is an effective way to reduce dependence on fossil fuels for heating the home. I really like this article because we have oil and I would love to heat my water another way. Some of the cons. Well, it depends on the weather. Of course, a solar water heater won't work on a cloudy or rainy day or at night. So you want to make sure that insulating the storage tank helps mitigate this drawback of doing it. I have to say the words correctly. So insulating the storage tank does help. Winterization, you want to prepare for freezing temperatures, whether it's using a heat transfer fluid or draining the pipes and shutting it down for the winter. So you have seasonal savings. And the cost, in general, a solar water heater system costs significantly more than the conventional water heater, even if you build it yourself. But you're not dependent on, you're dependent on the sun, but you're not dependent on other things. So a quick question. Yeah, that's a great question. Somebody just asked me, how long does a solar water heater keep the water? In a properly insulated storage tank, water heated in a solar water heater during the day should stay hot overnight and possibly longer depending on how much you use. That's a great question. Oh, and here it is in my article as well. So if those pros and cons sound like something that you want to do and the cost fits your budget, then this is something that you might want to consider even as a DIYer. And the lifespan when you're building your own solar water heater typically can last from 10 to 25 years. It depends on the climate. It depends on the configuration of the system that you use and the materials that you use to build it. And if a solar water heat storage tank isn't mounted above the collector to take advantage of the thermosiphon effect, so we understand that. That's like siphoning gas out of a car. You need a pump to circulate the water through the coil into the tank. So if it doesn't have its own way to drain down into the collector, then you have to install a pump that'll do that. A solar powered pump doesn't use any extra energy, but if you plug a circulation fan into your electrical system, it will consume about 25 to 150 watts of energy while it's running. So, does it sound like something you think you might want to do? How much solar power do you need to run a solar water heater? And how do you build it? Well, let's take a quick commercial break and we'll come back and tell you. You're listening to Home Improvement Fix and Facts with Carol Holloway, and we will be right back.
Hey, Philadelphia homeowners. To build for looks and durability, side your home with LP SmartSide Expert Finish Trim and Siding, now available in brushed smooth texture. Available in 16 versatile colors, LP SmartSide Expert Finish products will help you create a gorgeous, longer-lasting dream home. That's the beauty of brushed smooth. Learn more about LP SmartSide Expert Finish products in brushed smooth texture at lpcorp.com/philly siding. That's lpcorp.com/philly siding.
Hi, it's Carol Holloway. Join me every Monday from 3 to 4 for my show, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, as we discuss politics, health, family, economy, and just about any topic that we all deal with as we search for answers in today's world. Because things aren't always black and white. Sometimes you can sit on the fence undecided till you get the real facts.
Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, Mondays at 3 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM, WWDBAM.com, or the Odyssey app.
Hello, this is Erin, and I have a very important message. If you or a loved one is suffering with any sort of crisis, there is no need to do it alone. Dial the 988 Suicide and Crisis Hotline, where trained professionals will handle your case and get you the help you need any day, anytime. All reports are fully confidential. Dial 988, and a responder will do everything they can to assist you. Remember, if you see something, say something. You may just be saving someone's life. Remember, 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline.
He did the mash. He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in
a flash. Oh my goodness, we are back. That is getting us ready for Halloween. I keep forgetting. Let's see, next week I'll be live on the show and Halloween is next week. Oh my goodness. And then the clocks change and the time changes. Oh my goodness, there's so much going on right now. Okay. Thanks, TJ. So how much solar power do I need to run a solar power water heater? Well, again, that depends. The amount of solar energy a solar water heater uses depends on the number of factors, including the amount of sunlight you get. So your water usage and the size of the collection panel. So if you don't have an exorbitant amount of water usage, you're not washing cars and power washing your deck, which you should have done already to get ready for the fall winter. Oh my goodness, it's here. We're supposed to have 22 degree temperatures in the next couple of days. Anyway, it depends on the availability of sunlight, the water usage that you have, the size of your collection panel. As a rule of thumb, you should plan on 10 square feet of panel space for each person in your household. So two people, 20 square feet gives you an idea of the size that you're going to need. So how do we build it? It's so easy. And I'll give you the information on where to find this article because I am directly reading most of the information from Chris Diesel, who is a freelance service journalist who works in landscaping and home improvement. He's done it for more than 30 years. He's published over 10,000 how-to pieces on home improvement, and he lives in California, and he lives off the grid. So that's why I really have been enjoying this article and enjoy sharing it with you. So it's how do you make a DIY solar water heater? Well, as I mentioned, the most common DIY solar water heater consists of a collector, a coil network, a cold water inlet, and an outlet for hot water. So it's very basic. It's very simple to do. And you can go back and listen to this podcast later if you want to take notes, or you can look the article up yourself. The first thing that you want to do is build a collector box using very lightweight plywood, preferably 1/4 to 3/8 inch thick for the base, and about a 1x4 inch cedar, use 1x4 inch cedar for the frame because that's a little bit safer, and seal all the joints with silicone caulk. So you're building a box out of lightweight plywood and 1x4 inch cedar. You're going to insulate the interior of the box with 1 inch foil backed foam insulation with the foil facing outward, facing you as you're insulating the box. You're going to construct a coil that fits snugly in the box, you're using 3/4 inch copper tubing and elbow fittings. And you can maximize the number of turns in the coil to lengthen the path of water flowing through the conductor. So by using your elbow fittings and doing more turns, you can lengthen the path of the water flowing through this collector. You're going to want to extend one of the coils through the bottom of the box that you built for the cold water inlet and the other end through diagonally the opposite corner for the hot water. So I hope that you understand that. Go back and listen, one on one end, one on the other end. Solder an adapter into each end so that you can attach a garden hose or a plumbing pipe. Very simple. Cover the collection box, the collector box, with glass and use silicone caulk to seal the edges to keep the rain out. So you want this to be rainproof. So make sure that you're doing a good sealing job with your silicone caulk, and you can get glass cut at any glass store unless you are so inclined to cut the glass yourself. You can mount the collector on the roof or on the ground in the southerly direction to expose maximum solar exposure. It sounds easy enough, doesn't it? Then what you want to do is connect a cold water hose or a supply pipe to the inlet and a hot water hose or a pipe to the outlet. Sounds simple enough. There's pictures online. You can, like I said, you can buy a kit. Then you want to run the hot water supply to the holding tank, which may be in your house or on your roof, most likely in your house. Very few people have it on their roof. And the plumbing connections vary depending on the configuration that you use. So it's really important that you build it correctly, that you put all the connections together properly. If it's on the ground, make sure that it's not sitting directly on the ground. You might want to build a base of rocks or something like that to sit this level on the ground. I am not putting one on my roof, not at all. So I want to give you an idea of companies that are out there for the solar water heating systems as too. I'm staggering as I talk about it. There's so much information. I was shocked when I was thinking that some people might want to use a solar water heater for their hot tub instead of being able to use the water directly from your house to heat the hot tub, to fill the hot tub and keep the water warm. So that's also a nice little piece of information for those of you that have that want to build a DIY solar heating kit. Now, you can find these on Amazon as well. Just make sure that they are certified, that they have the right coding and the right things that you need to be able to do it. Remember that when you are doing this, you need to have the SRCC or comparable entity rating on your kits. But believe it or not, I was shocked when I found on Amazon all these different kits that are out there. I would highly recommend that if you are looking at these kits, you read the reviews because they were pretty reasonable. There was a complete 40-gallon solar water heating system that I found from a company called Sunbank that was $3,000, and it was complete with the tubes and everything. I was really shocked. And then there's others that you can build that aren't quite as complex for, you know, a couple $100s. So you can indeed build your own and heat your own water, your own solar water heating system. So I just wanted to share that with everybody because it's great information. And again, you could also, believe it or not, depending on the size that you build, you can actually put in how big you want it to be, whether it's under 40 gallons, whether it's up to 80 gallons. You could actually use something like this to heat a pool as well. Not a gigantic swimming pool, but you can, if you want to be off the grid, this is a great way to do it. And if you have solar panels on your home for electricity and you have your own solar water heater kit, and you build that, and then you're building your own garden, you're pretty much starting to live completely off the grid. More and more people are talking about it. So there are so many different articles. I did a lot of research. I just found that the one that I found from Chris was one of the easiest to read and understand. But you can build low-budget DIY solar thermal water heater systems and use them for even outdoor showers. So if you're down the beach or the shore, depending on where you live, you could do this during the summer, disconnect it in the winter when you're not renting out your house or using it for yourself, and you could save on your electric bills down the beach too, and not paying to heat that water. So there's a lot that you can do. It's not hard to do. So many articles. Do your homework. I just think this is such a great DIY project for everybody to play with and work on, and all of that other good stuff that's out there. So with that being said, I just want to let everybody know that we're trying really hard to have our insurance show next week because the cost of insurance is going through the roof. And I had just come back from New Orleans, and my kids were looking at buying a house down there, and they've kind of put it on hold for a couple reasons. One, the election, and what's going to happen. And number two, the flood insurance is out of control. And as we know, insurance companies are pulling out of areas like Florida and South Carolina and Georgia and Texas and Louisiana. So I can't wait to talk to her. And I'm praying that we have her on next week. Then, if not, we'll have her on Election Day. That's going to be a tough one. I just want to remind everybody that if you've missed any of this show, you can go back and listen to the podcast later, because at the top of the hour, we talked about how you as a homeowner store your flag and when you hang your flag outside your house, and then building your own water heater. So important information for everyone. And then I just want to let everybody know that I'm starting to wrap up my home improvement show for the year. I am looking at keeping my show probably through the end of November, possibly December. And then I'm going to take a little hiatus for a couple months away from the show and concentrate on my show that's on Monday from 3 to 4, Tell Me More with Carol Holloway, because that's going to deal with a lot more of what's going on in the world and not necessarily home improvement stuff. So I know a lot of people are going to be sad. My presence will still be out there, but I will be taking a hiatus and not doing the show every Tuesday morning from 8 to 9 like I've been doing for 4+ years now, almost. Oh my goodness, I can't believe it's been that long. So I just want to let everybody know. So if you want to reach out to me through Instagram or Facebook, please do it under Home Improvement Fix and Facts, and I can answer your questions and tell you what's going on if you so choose to know. And I just want to give everybody a little DIY tip before we wrap up the show today. You know, nowadays when we get a bottle of wine, they have those synthetic corks that are in them. And you heard me talk about caulking the glass on your solar panel. And so those synthetic corks that you get on your bottles of wine are great to use on tubes of caulk. If you drill a 5/16 inch hole into the cork, about an inch deep, and the corks are bigger than an inch, the cork actually fits perfectly over the end of your caulk tube and makes an airtight seal. So if you are looking to keep your caulk longer and safer and airtight and being able to use it whenever you need it, a synthetic cork from your wine bottle works perfectly. And if you're storing all your corks, not your corks, your caulk and your spray cans, you know, those little six packs that you get from the beer store, six packs cartons that you transport your beer in, they are great for storing things like spray paints, lubricants, and caulk tubes. And it makes it really easy and keeps them neat in your shop or your garage, because you can just line those six packs up right on the shelf. Such a fun little tip. And I just want to let everybody know that I'll keep trying to bring you a couple of these fun little tips. But the caulking one, I love that, because Who hasn't gone and went to grab an old bottle or an old tube of caulk to find out that you can no longer use it when you probably only ever used it once? So, and one more big thing for you, if you are so inclined, if you have light switches in your house and you want your kids to be able to see them at night because they don't glow in the dark, believe it or not, you can get glow-in-the-dark paint and you can dab a little bit to the end of the light switch. You can buy glow-in-the-dark paint at hardware stores and home centers. And this way, when you get up at night, whether it's your kids, whether it's you, you're trying to find the light switch, believe it or not, that glow-in-the-dark paint not only works great on the light switch, but it also works great to line your walkway if you spray paint your planners along your walkway outside. So there are some of your quick little DIY tips for today. I hope you enjoyed Home Improvement Fix and Facts. I think it was a very informative, great show. I cannot stress, get out and vote. Remember, when you go into the booth to cast your vote, nobody knows who you're voting for. It is your choice. If you disagree with what the masses are saying or you disagree with what's going on in the world, vote your conscience. Do what's right. You guys know what's right. Don't follow the pack. Don't follow the herd. Vote for your own rights and what's going to happen in this world. Anyway, I thank you all for listening. Pay it forward. Do something nice for somebody. We'll be back next week, same place, same time. Thanks for listening. And we'll also visit you on Tell Me More with Carol Holloway on Mondays from 3 to 4. Take it easy, everyone.
There ain't nothing wrong with this old house. It just needs a little home.